This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Your number is 877-217-5757. And if you'd like to send an email, we always like that, talk@talklouisiana.org. And you can hear podcasts of this show, by the way, anytime you wish. Go to talklouisiana.org. We're joined, as is our Thursday custom, by the Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, the newspaper of record in Louisiana, by Mark Ballard. And he is always at the ready to talk about what's going on in our world. And he writes a column every Sunday in The Advocate, Political Horizons. And a listener, prior to your appearance today, asked me to ask you about your last one, saying that giving voters a say in the homestead exemption will be a major topic in the session that starts in a few weeks. What's happening here, Mark?
Yeah. It's usually like the third rail of Louisiana politics. Nobody talks about homestead exemptions, and they just don't. I mean, but this time I think because of the controversy going on over the ITEP, which is the industrial tax exemption policy, Governor Edwards has issued an order which says the locals need to be involved in this 80-year-old tax exemption for industrials. That there could be a goodly amount of conversation about the homestead exemption. Business community has never been a fond supporter of the homestead exemption, but the homeowners are.
So, well, yeah, and over time, that $75,000 exemption has been in place for a very long time. We've had inflation probably more than double the amount that it was. Let's say 30 years ago. What I'm saying, I think people get the
right
reason, is that if you had a homestead exemption of $75,000 in 1989, that would be worth a lot more than it is today. So it already has decreased in value.
Well, I think that the issue is that it's a policy question. Do we believe that people in a low-income state like Louisiana is, despite what is said all the time, but we are a low-income state compared to others. If, as a matter of policy in a low-income state, whether middle-income people should have this kind of a tax break, that's the question that needs to be asked. And if so, the exemption, the $75,000, which was set into place in the mid-70s, would probably be double that, maybe even more now in today's dollars. And is that where we want to go with it? Or do we want to allow local governments to have more say-so over what kind of property taxes that they levy? So that is a good policy discussion, I think.
So you're saying there might actually be a move to up the homestead exemption?
Well, I haven't heard of that yet. I know that Senator Alario years ago tried to up it a few times and failed at it, and he's the Senate president now. So that could be a response to trying to give more local say-so over the homestead exemption.
Okay. Well, the money is sparse, and the governor is out there trying to get a very modest $1,000 pay raise for teachers. And, Mark, as you know, even that is a hard sell.
It will be. It will be. The way that he's trying to set this up is to put it under what's called the MFP, which is this massively complex formula that is used to guarantee relatively equal funding around the state of the public school system. It's put together by BESSE, by the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education, sent over to the legislature, who can only go yes or no to the amount. And so the BESSE earlier this week agreed with the $1,000 increase, plus including in the MFP budget another $500 or so for school aides and, you know, auxiliary personnel. And also out there is a big argument as to, well, we need to do more funding for early childhood education, and that's playing a role in it as well.
Well, the session starts in 25 days, and even though it is an election year, many of these lawmakers are term limited, and perhaps because of that, they may be a bit more brave than they have been in the past. But as we know, some of them who are term limited, they end up running for positions in the other chamber. In fact, a listener asked about the race here in Baton Rouge that's evolving. It looks like Steve Carter and Franklin Foyle and Beverly Thompson will all be in the same race, but Carter and Foyle were seatmates, our seatmates in the House. They could be lively when they're sitting together, and they're political opponents now.
Right, right. And you, first off, let me say that you're terminally optimistic to think that there's, after 3 years of not doing much of anything, that this group of legislators are going to grow backbone, but particularly going into an election.
At least they'll talk about things, but keep going.
But Steve Carter, who has not announced yet, but is from everything that we've been hearing, is that he is looking very seriously at it, and his announcement may be coming any day now, to be running for Dan Clater's seat, which is the kind of the southeastern portion of the parish. And that could be kind of an interesting campaign. They both cover basically their constituents are LSU administrators, LSU professors and administrators, and high-level bureaucratic executives in the state government. So they're not quite as to the far right as many of their colleagues. And it ought to be an interesting race, I think.
Well, Clater, who is term limited, is expected to file a bill to abolish the death penalty in Louisiana. Good luck with that. But he is a Republican, and this is a topic that was on display this week, Mark.
It is. Unless he's changed his talk, I mean, within the last couple of weeks or so, he was saying that he wasn't really going to be doing this. But it did kind of come up because Attorney General Jeff Landry, who is one of the far-right Republicans, basically had a did a little show at the legislature, you know, to show how much he is supportive of the death penalty and that we need to be doing something about it. The issue, though, I mean, look, Clater basically comes at it from a faith-based point of view as well as a fiscal conservatism point of view, meaning that in addition to his beliefs on the death penalty, that it is also enhanced by the fact that it's not paying for itself. It's not a very good investment. Part of that reason is that there is no way for Louisiana to execute anyone right now short of the legislature standing up and changing the law that would make the an execution possible. There was very little discussion of that during this. It was mostly talk by victims and supporters of a death penalty. But we would need to have a bill to change the law as to how the death penalty is actually administered to start having executions again in Louisiana.
Patrick in Ennis-Wald Estates, you're on the air with Mark Ballard. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Mark kind of hit my point. He's supposed to be representing our death.
All right, you're fading a bit. We're going to try to... Go ahead.
We need a stronger death penalty. We need justice. I mean, we see people that commit horrible murders, shoot people straight in the head, and they're still in jail 20 years later. They should have been executed 10 years ago. You know, I think of Ward Dunn's mother. I mean, she was ambushed, and her murderers are still... The justice has not been served. You know, if anything, we need to start limiting the appeal process or speed it up. I mean, I remember when Ted Bundy was executed, it took 10 years. People were really upset about it.
All right. Should we have a process that gets people to the, now it used to be the electric chair, but now it's the lethal injection table. And Derek Todd Lee is an example. He was convicted more than 10 years before he died in prison, and ironically, he received a pacemaker. He got lots of medical attention at taxpayer expense while he was on death row, Mark.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, what Patrick has articulated is a view of many people in the state and the country. And the other view of the opposing view of that is one, as Senator Clater and others have done, is that two things is that that the Catholic Church, for the most part, is against a death penalty, and secondly, that it has not really been financially reasonable to do. And the third thing that is kind of hovering over all of this is a statistically proven that poor people and people of color tend to end up more with the death penalty levied against them than you or I would, Jim, because we, you know, we can afford a good lawyer, and we're in the majority population. And so there needs to be something that kind of handles that legally, that kind of disparity, as the death penalty is my understanding in reading what the courts have written about it, that there is a disparity between peoples, and it should be the same penalty for everybody, but it's not, and they need to come up with a legal way to handle that.
All right. Another story this week that has gained much national exposure is this scandal involving academia at the highest levels in our country, people paying bribes to get their kids into top schools. Mark, you went to one of those top schools, Columbia University in New York. I hope you didn't bribe anybody to get in.
Boy, I certainly didn't. And if I had to bribe somebody, I never would have been able to get it. I think mine was more of an affirmative action kind of thing. It came as a shock to me. Partially, I have a son right now who is sitting there waiting. In the next 2 weeks, those top schools will be announcing who gets to go, and it was a concern. He certainly watched it very carefully. I'm not so sure that it's a big deal here in Louisiana, as we found that, you know, the big argument among higher education admissions in Louisiana is that we're letting in too many people at LSU. So I'm not sure that it really kind of resonates here, but it does for those students who want to go to the top Ivy League schools in the Northeast and on the West Coast.
877-217-5757 is your number. We'll return, spend a few more minutes with Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, after this quick timeout on 89.3 WRKF. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana at 877-217-5757. A few more minutes with Mark Ballard, the Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate. And we do have a governor's election now in less than 7 months, and it's still rather quiet out there. And the rumor of the last week is that President Trump has been actively lobbying Congressman Steve Scalise to get in the race. Mark, the president's a persuasive man. But Congressman Scalise, to this point, is not budging. Is there anything that you could see that would change the mind of Congressman Scalise?
Well, of course, I'm not privy to his counsel on this. But I mean, he has said over and over again that he's more interested in working his way up, and he's like in the number two position among the House Republicans now, and he wants to, be Speaker of the House one day. Now, that remains to be seen whether or not that's actually going to happen, and whether or not he is going to go against everything that he said over the last year or 2 years and decide to run in Louisiana, which he would be a very formidable candidate against Governor John Bel Edwards.
And at this point, Eddie Rasponi and Ralph Abraham are not doing a whole lot, and at some point, if they want to win this race, they've got to pull the trigger.
Well, yeah, that's true. It is true. And I'm surprised. I mean, in 2015, the race really got started going, in February and early March. And we've not seen anybody pulling the trigger, as you say, yet. They're doing little small things, the business about writing President Trump about making Louisiana a spaceport, you know, as opposed to Houston. That's entertaining, but it's not really important yet, and we're waiting for something important to happen.
Lastly, the listener asked about this dispute now between Commissioner of Agriculture Mike Strain and LSU Vice President of the Ag Center, Bill Richardson. They usually are very friendly and have been through many, many years of working together, but they are at odds over pot. What's going on here?
There has been some, it's a cannabis flap, but it has lasted. Basically, my understanding of this is that LSU, Bill Richardson in particular, had signed on to a particular group out of Nevada to grow the marijuana. And strain, and it has had the private partner, and it's called JB Sciences Louisiana, and strain has kind of disagreed with them. There's been problems with both LSU and with Southern in trying to get the legally grown marijuana that will be used for medications, and I think that's where that's coming in. Strain is mm-hmm. kind of like saying, let's get this going, and why is LSU particular fighting every step of the way? And Richardson is saying, we need to get, yes, we'll get this going, but we're going to follow the plan that we have put in place.
All right. Quickly, Paul in Opelousas has been waiting patiently. Paul, you're on the air with Mark Ballard.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Mark. I'm going to ask you a question, and I know hopefully you can direct it a little bit. Local newspapers, we're down to internet, basically. Do you see local newspapers even trying to survive?
All right. Well, the Advocate's doing a pretty good job of it, but there are some papers in larger markets, the one in New Orleans, for example, that is not what it used to be.
Yeah, I think that the industry is still trying to find its business model, if you will, as to what's going to work. We know that the national news, spirited a lot by the president, is attracts a lot of readers. Local news, not as much, not at the kind of readership that will sell advertising. And so it's still working itself out, and it is something to worry about that local news is not going to be covered.
Thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure. Let's do it again next week. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.